Freshly squeezed on a Wednesday night. This is your AEW Dynamite review for May 13th, 2020. I am the Solemn Monster. Hope everybody's having a great Wednesday night as we get ready to talk about AEW Dynamite here. But before I go any further, before we get to the business at hand and all the stuff that went down tonight, we must mourn the loss of one of the all-time greats. Only saw what happened and heard about what happened a few minutes ago. And I hate to start these things out on a somber note. I don't like doing it. I hate doing this, but it's the right thing to do. And so we must mourn one of the all-time greats who passed away in the line of fire tonight. His name is Vanguard One. Vanguard One, 2016 to 2020. He didn't live a very long life, but it was a very fulfilling life. Brought a lot of joy, a lot of happiness to a lot of people. And unfortunately, tonight, he met his maker. I want to see all the RIPs in the chat. Basically, that's your way of pouring one out. Let me see all the RIPs for Vanguard One. That'll be our 10-bell salute. All of the RIPs in the chat. I know it's very sad. I see all the crying emojis. I know it's very sad. I know it's very depressing. But you know what? He went down doing what he loved best. Delivering a message to somebody in the ring. So tonight, we dedicate this review to the loyal soldier that is Vanguard One. We're going to miss you, buddy. Got a lot more thoughts on tonight's show, which was taped last week from Daly's Place in Jacksonville. What's going on, everybody? Let me say hello to everybody in the chat. I know we started out on a somber note, but let's have some fun here. Show was taped last week in Jacksonville. I'm going to get into the whole show. I also got some news on Sting. Sting has been in the news. You might be asking, well, what does Sting have to do with AEW? There's a little connection there. Could be a big connection. So we're going to talk about Sting as well. Same Sting who is no longer under contract to WWE. That's where things get a little interesting. So we'll talk about the rumors around Sting. If you like these reviews, do me a favor. Hit that like button down below. You'll see the thumbs up button. I appreciate that. Also, for those of you desktop users, you might see a little skull in the corner of your screen, lower right-hand corner. You can hit that button to subscribe to the channel if you are not already subscribed to the Sound Off YouTube channel. That is an easy way to go about doing it. Of course, Super Chat's already open. I will get to that. We've already had some Super Chats come in before I even went live tonight, including Jason Nibs, you crazy SOB. I'm going to shout everybody out here. So those are open. You can see the special donation amounts down below in the description. Or if you want to take your chances and go random, you can do that too and give whatever you feel like giving. The polls are open at Solemonster on Twitter. At Solemonster on Twitter. That is going to be the place to go to vote in the AEW poll for tonight and also the NXT poll. And so go ahead, we'll flash the results a little bit later on. You guys have time to chime in on what you thought about that. So let's get into the Dynamite show tonight. It opened fast and furious. We had Lance Archer coming out with Jake the Snake Roberts. They made their way out. Lance Archer beat some poor sap up as he came out. Some guy from the back who he basically threw out there and then was kind of bouncing him around. And so this was promo time. This was story time with Jake the Snake Roberts, which is never a bad way to open these shows. Jake is so damn good in this role. He's just so good as the slimy, sleazy, you know, hateable, just codger of an old man. Got a lot of people very upset last week when he was sprawled out across Brandy Rhodes. Everybody, oh, that's so inappropriate. That's so wrong. That's called being a heel. And he's one of the best at it. So this is the perfect role for Jake Roberts. We got a promo from him tonight talking about how he was told to come out here and he was told to apologize for what he had done to Brandy Rhodes the week before. And he said he wasn't going to do that, not unless Brandy came out and kissed his ass, which I'm sure he would love. He says, as far as he's concerned, a woman is great at home. She should be at home. She should be in the kitchen cooking. She should be, you know, wiping a baby's butt. And on occasion, when it's a little cold outside, it's okay if she also keeps him warm. Again, you're supposed to hate him. He's supposed to be a sleazeball. That's who Jake the Snake Roberts is. So he was talking about, Cody, your time is up. No more fooling around. No more wasting any time. All of a sudden, we hear the noise of a car. We don't know where it's coming from. We hear an automobile somewhere revving the engine. And we see Cody is outside Daly's place. He is outside the building in his Ford F-150, sitting outside in his truck. And I know what they were trying to do here. You know, Cody is very upset about what happened to his wife, as he should be. Very upset what happened to his wife and what Jake, you know, putting the snake on her and everything. He's got his fists all taped up. You can see as he's got his hands on the steering wheel, his fists are all taped. But the way they shot this and the way they did this, this was no bueno. This was not good. So he's sitting in his truck and they, you know, he's revving the engine. And you're thinking to yourself, is he going to ride the truck into the building? No. What he's going to do, he's going to ride the truck about, I don't know, 15 feet maybe, into a guardrail, a single guardrail, and then he's going to stop and get out. And the way they shot this, you know, maybe if he was coming in full force and then he kind of hit the brakes and he slammed into the guardrail, kind of came like a bat out of nowhere, you know, that would have been okay. But the way they shot this, this just looked completely ridiculous. This was very goofy. Anyway, that aside, he got out. Archer came to follow him in, gave Archer a low blow. They're brawling back and forth. The whole time we're getting play-by-play in the ring from Jake the Snake. So he's on the mic. He's, you know, telling Cody, you know, come and get it and all this other stuff. By the way, you know, now that I say that, come and get it. Think about Jake's voice, like what Jake sounds like. And I just said that out loud. Come and get it. What does that remind you of? What movie character saying that, does that remind you of? Nobody's going to get this. I may as well just tell you. Jack Palance, right? City Slickers? Or maybe it was City Slickers 2. I don't know. And in that moment, he reminded me of Jack Palance. Anyway, we had Jack Palance here on Dynamite. So they brawl down to the ring. There's a chair that's brought in. Anyway, this all breaks down with Jake, you know, holding back Archer. And it saved that match for the pay-per-view. And Cody, you know, look, for a guy who was very upset about what happened to his wife, he just sat there, knelt down on his knee in the ring, just staring at them. Again, if that's me, I'm running after these guys. You know, I'm chasing after them. So that was a little goofy. But there's a very special announcement, which is that at the pay-per-view, May 23rd, Double or Nothing, it's going to be Cody one-on-one against Lance Archer. We're going to get the first ever TNT champion, Iron Mike Tyson. They have signed Mike Tyson. They've reached a deal with Iron Mike. They're going to bring him in to present the new championship to the winner, whomever that may be. That's a nice coup. You know, that's a nice little feather in the cap for AEW. Of course, WWE did it first, but Mike is still a big name. I'm sure if WWE could do something big with Mike Tyson, they'd love to. So I think that's pretty cool. Yeah, and it's smart, too, because I'll tell you why. Tyson has been in the news recently. I'm sure you've seen the footage of him training, sparring. There's some talk that he might be doing some kind of a charity fight. I see, Evander Holyfield just announced that he's going to be coming back, I think, and doing some fights. So there's a big belief that we might be getting Tyson Holyfield 3 very soon in the year 2020. But I'm watching this footage of Mike sparring. And how old is Mike Tyson? He's got to be, what, 53, I think? 53 years old, Mike Tyson? And man, you know, the speed that he's got is scary. You know, for a guy who is a lot older now, yeah, obviously his prime is long past him by 20 plus years, but the speed is still there. So if he wants to throw a punch at the AEW show, I'm just saying, you know, they could get their big celebrity moment by doing something very similar to what WWE did with Tyson back at WrestleMania all those years ago. So I think that's a pretty cool thing that they got him to do that at Double or Nothing. Before we move on here, let me just say thank you to the people who were very early on the stream tonight before I even went live. That's some dedication right there. To be sending in super chats before I'm even on the air. JWD, thank you very much. He couldn't make the stream tonight, so he wanted to send a little something in. I appreciate that. Prince Walker, thank you. Jason Nibs, I mentioned Jason before. You're a beast. $55. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Jacob Donnelly with the $10 Russo on a pole drop. Very upset that Vanguard 1 has perished. I know. What can I say? Lord Frieza. Thank you for joining us again tonight. One of our regulars, Lord Frieza. And Rodimus Prime, I salute you, sir. Thank you for the $20. You the man. I appreciate that. Best friends against Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus. They were really focusing here on how important this match was to the AEW Tag Team Rankings. The top five in the tag team division. Neither team is in the top five right now, by the way. Jurassic Express is not in the top five. Best friends are not in the top five. So, yeah, I at least like the fact that on television they put over the significance of the rankings. Otherwise, what does it really mean, right? If you don't acknowledge it on television, then why even bother having rankings? They also had a, prior to the match, a video package illustrating the strength of the AEW tag team division. You guys have heard me talk about this before. I think AEW has the best tag team division of any promotion right now, any national promotion, big promotion, anywhere in wrestling. Now, we're not seeing a lot of them right now because some of them are stranded overseas or in Mexico in different countries with everything going on. But when you look at the depth that they have in that tag team division, find me a better tag team division in wrestling. It's not in WWE. I could tell you that. Find me a better tag team division. You know, if their women's division is not one of their strengths right now, although they're working on it, but if that's not one of their strengths, then the tag team division absolutely is. So I like that they focused on that. I think that's a good thing. You want people to know, listen, you can't find a tag team division like this anywhere else. So I like the fact that they're putting some emphasis on tag team wrestling in this company. I think that's a good thing. So I thought this was a fun opener. Two babyface tag teams. There was a tope attempt by Trent at one point. Luchasaurus was outside the ring, and he dives through the ropes. Luchasaurus catches him by the throat, and Excalibur refers to this as the tope interruptus, which, for whatever reason, this tickled Tony Schiavone like you wouldn't believe. Tony thought it was the greatest line ever. The announcers all seem to be very loose tonight. I wonder if they were throwing some back before they went on the air tonight. Jim Ross was joking around. Tony Schiavone was joking around. Hey, at least it's nice to hear from people who actually like their jobs. And they're allowed to just sort of let loose a little bit. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. So there you go. Tope Interruptus and Rey Fénix. I got to talk about Rey Fénix here. So we have not seen Pentagon. We have not seen Fénix in a while with everything going on with COVID and all that. Orange Cassidy, you might know this guy. He comes walking out and he's on stage or he's on the ramp and he's about to come down to the ring to help the best friends. Out of absolutely nowhere, Rey Fénix wrecked Orange Cassidy with a flying kick. He went Liu Kang on his ass. Okay, he didn't bicycle kick him, but this kick came from out of nowhere. The way they shot this was awesome. Almost kicked this guy's head into the 10th row. I thought the way they shot this and everything was just beautiful. Both guys are going to be part of the casino ladder match at Double or Nothing on the 23rd. And also what they're doing here is they're kind of rekindling the rivalry that they started about, before everything started, 2 months ago, whatever it was, with Death Triangle and Best Friends. Now, Pac, I think, is stuck overseas. I don't think we're going to be seeing Pac. We might not be able to see Pentagon for a while. So that's two-thirds of Death Triangle right there. But it was nice to see Fénix back. You know, we haven't really had the chance to see Fénix much. I don't know if, you know, where he's been. Obviously, he's must have been stateside because he's back on TV. His brother is not. But if you missed the kick, you can probably find it on Twitter. Go on Twitter and find it. It was one of the high spots of the entire night. So we had MJF. Now all this chaos is ensuing, right? All this chaos is going on. MJF is in the crowd. He's hanging out with Sean Spears. All of a sudden, MJF grabs Jungle Boy, throws him into the ring post. So he posts Jungle Boy, who, of course, he's wrestling at Double or Nothing on the 23rd. And Chuck Taylor hits the awful waffle on Jungle Boy, kills this guy, just spikes him right on top of his head, gets the win. And so the best friends pick up the win. Outside the ring, Wardlow murders Marco Stunt. I guess Marco was in the crowd. Maybe he was outside the ring. He grabbed Marco and flung him into the barricade like he was nothing. Like he was a small child, which I guess he is. He's a small child. Luchasaurus comes over, checking on his little buddy. Goes eye to eye with Wardlow. Now, if you remember, they were teasing a lumberjack match about 2 months ago between these two, which they couldn't do. And they still can't do, because you really can't do a lumberjack match the way that a lumberjack match should be done if you're doing social distancing. Yeah, lumberjack matches, battle royals, royal rumbles. That's why we're getting a casino ladder match this year, not a casino battle royal. Can't do it. And AEW is very, they're very specific. Oh, we're following the rules, social distancing and all this stuff. We're testing everybody. So perhaps we're going to get a straight-up singles match between these two. We never did get the match, so it seemed to me like that's what they were teasing here. Anyway, Orange Cassidy is going to go one-on-one with Phoenix next week on Dynamite, so that match is official. What's going on, everybody? We got people coming on in. Man, these comments about Vanguard 1, we got a lot of very upset people. I know. It's very distressing to see what happened tonight. Booger Burgers, thank you for the $5. That's a great name. Booger Burgers, thank you for the $5. Lance Archer coming out there through the entrance and tossing someone reminds me of Mortal Kombat 11. Injustice 2 banter interaction cutscene. Okay. I haven't played the game, so I'll take your word for it. I do have an arcade one-up Mortal Kombat 2. Yeah, Mortal Kombat 2 machine downstairs. Mortal Kombat 11, that's a little further down the line. Cursed Blood Wolf, thank you for the $10. And Patrice Herbert, thank you for the super chat as well. I appreciate it. Penelope Ford, Chris Statlander, Hikaru Shida, and Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, Fatal 4-Way. Basically, it turned out to be, did they announce it as a number one contenders match? I'm not even sure if they did or not. But it turned into a number one contenders match for the AEW World Championship, for the women. I enjoyed this. I thought it was a little sloppy, a little rough, in certain points. For the most part, though, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a very good match. Shida was trying to hold on to her number one contender spot. She is the number one contender in the rankings. Penelope Ford, Chris Statlander, they're fighting, they're jockeying for position. Statlander, I think, is number two, right? Number two or number three in the rankings. Penelope Ford isn't even ranked. So that was kind of the story coming into the match. They all have something to prove. They all have something to show. Sheeta's kind of trying to protect her spot. Britt Baker wants revenge on Shida. I think it was Shida who broke her nose. So that was the story coming in. They come back from break. Penelope Ford, who's very athletic. And I've said before, well, Penelope Ford, she's a lot better than people give her credit for. We didn't really get to see that too much in this match. But she's clearly, she's very athletic and she can do some impressive things. Not maybe her best showing. They did a spot where Mr. Penelope Ford, Kip Sabian, jumped up on the apron, held Shida. In came Ford. Shida moved. Instead of colliding with her man, they embraced and they, they did what couples do. Need I say more? So, Britt Baker's on the outside. She puts lockjaw on Chris Statlander. So she's got her submission hold. She's got a glove on. She's got her submission hold on her out on the floor. Inside, Shida finishes off, who did Shida finish off? She finished off, was it Ford? It might have been, I guess it was Ford, on the inside with the running knee. So Hikaru Shida wins the match. Hikaru Shida now is the number one contender. She will challenge Nyla Rose at Double or Nothing for the AEW Women's Championship. And so that match is official. Britt Baker is going to take on Chris Statlander. So we've got two women's matches already signed for the pay-per-view on the 23rd. And I said last week, this pay-per-view is coming up in like 2 weeks or 3 weeks. We've got one match. What's going on here? We got like one, two matches. So this was the week where they started to fill the card in a little bit, which they had to. I mean, the pay-per-view is 2 weeks away. We got a Sugar Dunkerton promo. Or what does he call himself now? Suj D. Is that what he calls himself? Suj D. Well, Chris Jericho calls him Pineapple Pete. And he's sitting in the back and he's saying, you know, ever since Chris Jericho started calling me Pineapple Pete, my life has been great. Life's been sweet. I think he's got merch now. He's got a t-shirt. He's sitting there drinking out of a pineapple. They're playing like club music in the background. This guy's living the life here. Pineapple Pete, that little bastard, that little rat bastard. Holy moly. Who is that? Is that C. Garcia? Thank you for the $50, man. That's awesome. I'll give you the, this is the Orange Cassidy thumbs up here. There you go. Got my broken thumb. Food Hive, thank you. Good to hear from you, Food Hive. Says, you look like Crockett from Miami Vice. I don't think so, but thank you. That's very nice of you to say. Jesse Rules, thank you for the $5. Any predictions on the other 5 ladder match participants? I have no idea. I think they're just going to fill it out. We know Colt Cabana's in there, right? So we got Ray Phoenix, Orange Cassidy, Colt Cabana. Did they say how many? Is it 8 men? 6 men? I don't know how many they said. I don't have the roster in front of me, so I have no idea who's available, who's not available, who's out of the country, who's in the country. I don't know anything anymore. I don't think anybody knows anything. But I'm sure it'll be a good match. So, Jesse, thank you. Santana and Ortiz against Kenny Omega and Damascus Matt Hardy. Santana and Ortiz, they attacked Omega. He was out first. They attacked him right away before Matt even came out. Hardy finally walks out. He bites Santana. He's just biting this guy, tosses him into the entrance tunnel, comes down to the ring. This match went long. It went almost 20 minutes. It probably went longer than it should have. It just felt like, come on, this match doesn't have to be this long. But it was a good match. You know, back and forth. Matt Hardy is kind of just filling the spot now that would normally belong to Hangman Page. Hangman Page is unavailable, so they've kind of plugged Matt Hardy in there. And Hardy got a tag, used a hanging guillotine on Ortiz. Sammy Guevara comes out. Now, Sammy Guevara took the bump of all bumps the week before when he got hit by that golf cart. He sold that thing like death. He comes out. He's wearing a neck brace, walking very gingerly. He's got a chair in his hand. He comes into the ring, and Hardy knocks the chair out of his hand, gives him a twist of fate. Sammy Guevara, this may have been the best sell of a twist of fate that I've ever seen. I've been singing the praises of Sammy Guevara now for a few weeks, but this was truly the mother of all sells for the twist of fate. Spiked him right on his head. He rolled out, and Hardy teased a superplex on Ortiz. Ortiz blocked. Kenny Omega hits a V-trigger, and in the end, Hardy hits the twist of fate and gets the pin. So Kenny Omega and Matt Hardy pick up the win over Santana and Ortiz. Just checking out the chat here, making sure everybody's on their best behavior. Hopefully everybody is having a cold beverage as you listen to the show. This isn't a cold beverage. This is piss warm, but it's always good to have water. Always want to make sure you have water when you record. Or if you are Saul Goodman from Better Call Saul and you're trapped somewhere in the Arizona desert, even urine. Guy walked around and drank his own urine. He had to do something to survive. I guess it's sterile, right? Not something that I would want to do, but in any event, we had Taz. Taz was in the back. There was a pre-tape. He was interviewing Darby Allin, and they did this the week before. He was trying to point out to Darby some holes in his offense and mistakes that he's been making. Oh, I can help you. I can guide you. And Darby didn't want to hear any of it. He wasn't interested in hearing any of it. You know, Taz was telling him, you know, this move is a basic amateur wrestling move, and I can give you some tips on how to improve. I don't think Darby Allin needs Taz's help. He was doing fine before Taz came along. I agree with Darby. Fuck off. He doesn't need him. This guy was on top of the world at Revolution. Big win over Sammy Guevara. Now he needs tips from Taz? I mean, yeah, come on. So Darby said, I don't need you to teach me how to beat my opponents. And he pointed out that he placed 3rd in the state of Idaho in amateur wrestling 1 year. Anyway, he walked off. We had an interview elsewhere with Hikaru Shida, whose English is better than I thought it would be from what I had heard. But I guess I just didn't see too many Shida promos. Said that she's going, yeah, she's very excited to challenge for the championship at the pay-per-view, and she's going to win. All of a sudden, in comes Nyla Rose, and she says, I'm here to give you something that you've been missing, and she whips out a kendo stick, and she hits her with it. And we have since found out that the match at the pay-per-view will be no disqualification and no count-out between Nyla Rose and Hikaru Shida for the championship, so that's official. We had MJF, Maxwell Jacob Friedman, back in action. For the first time months after his career-threatening hangnail injury, he is doing well. His condition has improved greatly, so that's good to see. This was a tune-up match for him, basically going into the pay-per-view. He bullied around Lee Johnson. Lee Johnson was his opponent here on this show. Bullied him around, trapped him in the salt of the earth. Armbar got the win. Announced after the match was over that he has signed for a tune-up match with Marco Stunt on Dynamite next week. That is, they'll have to scrape Marco off the barricade first. Get one of those snow scraper things like what I keep in the trunk of my car. You could scrape them off the side of the guardrail. They also announced for next week, Jon Moxley goes one-on-one with 10 of the Dark Order. That's what they're calling him. He's 10. Not a 10-year-old. That's just what his name is. That would be funny, though. Jon Moxley against Nicholas next week. Matt Hardy takes on Sammy Guevara. I gotta say, I don't know if at some point they're gonna go back to this, but it seemed like they were building to a match at the Hardy compound, Matt Hardy against Sammy Guevara, or Matt Hardy against Chris Jericho. If we're not gonna get a match at the Hardy compound now, I'm very upset by this whole development here. Apparently it's just gonna be a regular match. I'd rather they film it on location, do one of those cinematic matches like WWE did. And Arn Anderson, he's going to go face-to-face with Jake the Snake Roberts. Two elderly men are going to be flown in for Dynamite next week, which is live. They are back live next week. And they're going to, I guess, they're going to risk it all to fly into Dynamite and to go face-to-face in the ring. Of course, Arn Anderson manages Cody, and Jake the Snake manages Lance Archer. They do have to be careful. As much as I do enjoy Jake in the spot, and really he is perfect in that role, I feel like he's overshadowing Archer a little bit. So I don't know what you do. I mean, he is his manager, he is the guy who speaks for him. They may have to be a little careful there, you know, because I feel like maybe it's a little too much Jake and not enough Lance, but we'll see what they do next week. What's going on, Magician Sapphire? Let me just catch up here on these super chats. Magician Sapphire says, after the TNT tournament, do you think AEW should introduce a cruiserweight title or the equivalent? No. No, I do not. They're introducing a new championship at the pay-per-view. They don't need to turn around and introduce another new championship. I think the one they're introducing at Double or Nothing is perfectly fine. I see nothing wrong with that. Hey, Booger Burgers, thank you again for the $12. Private Party and Hangman Page. BTE storyline is getting interesting. Page still owns Isaiah Cassidy. $12. And Jacob Donnelly, thank you for the $10. Do you think AEW still goes with a Hangman Page heel turn whenever he is back, using the story of Matt Hardy taking his place? You know, I honestly think that's a ways off. It's possible, you know, it's possible they can kind of tweak the storyline a little bit, I guess. You know, if they wanted to go in that direction, they could do that. But we just don't know when Hangman Page is going to be back on TV. So everything is just up in the air right now. Chris Jericho and Pineapple Pete, one-on-one. He's been ranting about Pineapple Pete now for weeks. And not much to it. He slapped Pete. Pete fired up. He went crazy on Jericho. Jericho hit the Judas Effect, which I'm not going to reenact right now for obvious reasons. And he hit the Judas Effect and got the win. So a quick and easy win for Chris Jericho. Takes the mic. He's got a baseball bat in his hand. And he lays down the gauntlet. The Inner Circle has challenged the Elite to what he is calling the first ever Stampede or Stadium Stampede match at Double or Nothing. Stadium Stampede, he's calling it. He says at a football stadium with 80,000 seats. I assume that's TIAA Field, which is where the Jaguars play, which is literally right next door. And from what I can see, is expandable up to 80,000 seats. So I assume that's where they're just going to have the run of the mill. I mean, I think they own the stadium, right? Doesn't the Khan family own the stadium, or does the city own it? I don't know. But They can pretty much do whatever they want. It's not like they're playing games there. So that could be fun. So they challenged them to a Stadium Stampede match, and this is when Vanguard won. The departed Vanguard won. He showed up, had his little Inner Circle shirt, the one that Chris Jericho offered him all those weeks ago. And he flew down and gave Jericho the shirt back, which, you know, Jericho was very appreciative of. And he asked Vanguard One, you know, I guess to answer for the Elite, do they accept the challenge? And Vanguard One says they accept. So the match is official. Says, do you accept our offer to join the Inner Circle? Our offer, you know, that I made to you all those weeks ago. Vanguard One doesn't say anything. He goes, well, it doesn't matter anyway because the offer is rescinded. We don't need you anymore. We have a new member. We have our own member. The sixth member of the Inner Circle. His name is Floyd. And Floyd is the baseball bat that Chris Jericho had in his hand. And I knew right away, you know, as soon as I saw Vanguard One, I knew Jericho had the bat. I knew exactly where this was going. And so he introduced Vanguard One to Floyd, and he smashed Vanguard One into a million pieces, just smashed the shit out of that drone. They were stomping on the pieces of him were just strewn everywhere. It gave me flashbacks to number Johnny Five in Short Circuit, that scene. It was Short Circuit 2, maybe, where the bad guys beat the crap out of the machine. I gotta tell you, you know, as goofy as you might think that movie is, and if you've never seen it, it's about this robot that was designed, I think, for like warfare, gets struck by lightning, and now it's alive. And anyway, it came out many years ago. And I used to watch part one and part two when I was a kid. And actually, to this day, I still would love to have like a replica of what Johnny Five, I just don't know where to order it from. But there's a scene in the second movie where they beat the crap out of this machine. And honestly, like, I'm watching this as a young, I don't know how old I was young. And it just, it rips your guts out to watch this. And I'm watching this and I'm going, this kind of reminds me of Johnny Five getting the shit beaten out of it in Short Circuit 2. It's awful. So Matt Hardy runs out and he's in mourning. He's mourning the loss of his drone friend. So I assume that means we're going to be getting Vanguard 2 very soon. Right? We had Matt Hardy V1, Matt Hardy V2. We're going to have Vanguard 1 version 2. I assume. Kevin, oh my God, thank you for the $4.99. Crash, what's going on, Crash? Did you see the confusing hidden tag team rule? Yes, I did. I did indeed. I saw the confusing tag team rule. Apparently, Vince McMahon has a very confusing tag team rule in WWE that he's very strict about. Now, I believe, and I might fuck this up. If I do, you'll correct me in the chat. You are allowed in the course of a tag team match in WWE. I'll do this real quick. If I want to make sure I get this right, I believe that if you are the legal man in the match and you attack the illegal man, that's okay. But if the illegal man puts his hand on the legal man, then it has to be called a DQ. No matter what, which would explain that ridiculous finish to the Seth Rollins tag match on Monday night. I may have botched that. Again, you can correct me in the chat if I'm... It's just stupid. It is one of these random, like, Vince McMahon things that he gets hung up on, and then probably one day, like that, he'll just change his mind or something. It's ridiculous. But apparently he's very serious about it. And, like, people, when they're putting their matches together, they have to keep that in mind and incorporate that into their matches. Like, okay, we can't do this because Vince is not going to like this. And I don't know. Very bizarre. He's a very strange individual. Prince Walker, thank you for the 10. My friend, you are awesome. Prince said, Dasha is much better in AEW. She really is. She's a pretty good announcer. We haven't seen Justin Roberts. I guess he's been quarantined at home, but I thought, yeah, Dasha's been doing a fine job. I guess her firmware was updated. Faustino Vargas, thank you for the 10. Says this donation is solely for the Short Circuit reference. Oh, you like that, huh? It's a great movie. Michael McKean. Who's the other guy? Fisher Stevens, right? Part 2 I'm talking about. Chris Quillman, thank you for the 5. Says, now Jericho is getting over a freaking aluminum ball bat. He thinks he's Negan. I thought the same thing. I thought Negan. All he needs is the barbed wire around the bat. And Mr. Wombat, thank you for the 15. Can't believe that you were able to go live after that flying dragon kick from Phoenix. Mad respect on your name. Well, you know, what can I say? What can I say? I'm a little concussed right now. I'm a little, you know, woozy, but I'll live. I'll be all right. Mr. Brody Lee against Christopher Daniels, the Fallen Angel. I'm surprised this was the main event. I thought it would be the Hardy Omega tag match. This did not feel like a main event to me. So this was the main event. Brody Lee came out with Jon Moxley's AEW title. I mean, obviously, I know why it was the main event. He's challenging for the championship. But again, this is what I'm talking about. It just doesn't feel like a world title match. You know what I mean? It just feels like he was rushed into this sooner than he should have been. He just should not be in that spot yet. They were building him up, and I guess it's more just a matter of who they had available, I guess. But this did not feel like a main event here to me. Ten was out there. Ten. He was in Brody's corner. And he distracted Daniels. SCU attacked Ten on the outside. And Daniels had, who got the chair? Was it Lee? I think Lee got the chair, but Daniels used it or something. He got him in the Koji clutch. No referee. All this, there's like chaos going on with SCU on the outside, brawling with the Dark Order. Colt Cabana joins in. He joins in the brawl outside. He was in the front row for the whole show. Daniels hits the Angel's wings for a near fall. Lee kicks out. Daniels counters back into the best moonsault ever. Again, only a near fall. Gets a two count out of it. Heads back up top. And Lee counters into a power bomb. And then he finishes off with the discus lariat. Out comes Jon Moxley. He goes after Brody Lee. Ends up putting down 10 with the paradigm shift. Instead, Lee goes off. And Jon Moxley cuts a promo on Brody Lee. Says you're going to pay dearly for what you've done. And you're going to pay with interest. And at Double or Nothing, there will be a hailstorm of violence, he says. Hailstorm of violence, according to Jon Moxley. And that's how they went off the air. So I thought it was a good show. I enjoyed the show. You know, they were furthering a lot of the stories and the matches for the pay-per-view. The Cody thing with the whole car and the way he counted that was no good. But I you know, enjoyed what they were doing, you know, with Jake out there and then narrating the whole brawl. Some of the matches on the show were really good. The Tyson announcement is huge. You know, to get that kind of publicity for the company, I think is a good thing. You know, they're going to have this pay-per-view. Not a whole lot of buzz around it right now, given everything that's been going on. You know, I feel bad for all these companies. I feel bad for WWE. I feel bad for AEW. You know, I feel bad for NWA. You know, everybody who was trying to just, you know, get their big events in and in some cases were really kind of like AEW was firing on all cylinders and they had a lot of momentum going into Blood and Guts. And just everything is on hold. And the thing that sucks is you don't know if you're going to be able to recapture all of that on the other side of this. You don't know when the other side of this is going to be. But you don't know that those people are going to still be there. You don't know that the fan interest and the ratings and everything else, that it's going to just be back to the way it was. You know, and Tony Khan has said that AEW was headed for the biggest stretch of business that they had ever had, with the sellout in Newark and then Double or Nothing in Vegas. So, you know, for them to go out and bring in a name to make an appearance, I think that'll be a good thing for the company. You know, should get them some publicity, which certainly can't hurt, because there's not a lot of companies getting publicity, or if they are, it's probably bad publicity. Booger Burgers with the 5. Vanguard 1 was super over. More over than the anonymous general manager. I think my water bottle was more over than the anonymous general manager. I mean, come on. You're setting the bar very low. I gotta say. Jeez. what's going on, everybody? I need to take a moment to acknowledge and show my appreciation for everybody who is joining me live. And by the way, everybody who joined me for the premiere of my Undertaker Last Ride review. For those of you who may have missed it, when you're done watching this stream, be a pal and go check out my Undertaker Last Ride review, part 1. I had a lot of thoughts about the first episode, and I will be doing these every single week for all four remaining episodes on YouTube. So just a little FYI, those of you who may have missed it, you can definitely go back and check that out. I would appreciate that. All right, so I mentioned Sting. So let's talk a little bit about Sting here. Pro Wrestling Sheet broke the news yesterday, I believe it was, that Sting is not currently under contract to WWE. Whatever contract he had, whether it was a Legends deal, merchandising deal, full-blown contract, whatever it was, it has expired. He is no longer under contract to WWE. This was after Mattel issued a statement about one of its upcoming toy lines. You know, Mattel does all the action figures for WWE. They put a statement out because Sting was pulled. You know, Sting's, they have Sting's likeness on all kinds of merchandise and action figures and stuff, and probably sell a lot of Sting dolls and Sting figures. I can't call them dolls. Sorry. Fucking dolls. He was pulled. And that got a lot of people talking. And so Mattel put a statement out saying that due to circumstances beyond their control, Sting was removed from Legends Series 7, which I guess is the next line that's going to be coming out. Now, this doesn't mean that they're, yeah, there's bad blood there, or there can't be some kind of new deal worked out between Sting and WWE. It's very possible that they, you know, put pen to paper, and in a few weeks, he signs a new contract. All they have to do is throw a bunch of money at him to make sure he doesn't go anywhere else. And I'm sure Sting would love to just make a lot of money to sit home and do nothing. So it's very possible that that could happen. But what where AEW got involved here is Cody loves to stir shit. And so he had posted that gif of him, you know, cupping the ear online when he heard that Sting was, you know, no longer under contract to WWE. And that got a lot of people talking. What does that mean? Is Cody teasing that Sting is going to be, you know, coming into AEW? Is Sting going to be a double or nothing? Is he signed to come in? Is he going to wrestle again? All these rumors and all this speculation. And Sting has tweeted, he's fueled, not on purpose, but like he's tweeted a couple of times about Archer and, oh, it's great to see Jake the Snake, you know, back in a role on TV and all that kind of stuff. PW Insider shot down the whole, there was another rumor that Sting was going to be a double or nothing to present the TNT title, you know, to the winner of the Cody Archer match, which now we know it's going to be Mike Tyson. It's a much bigger name than Sting. So Sting will definitely not be presenting the championship to the winner. The reality is that there is nothing to this rumor of Sting going to AEW because he's not signed anything with AEW. He's not in negotiations that anybody is aware of with AEW. It was Cody just trying to get people talking. It was Sting just somebody, I think Archer had tagged him in a tweet saying, oh, Sting is somebody I would have loved to have wrestled. And Sting made a comment back, you know, about, you know, good to see you doing well after your run in Japan and doing well here in the States. So, you know, people got excited and people ran with it. There's nothing to it at this point. Could he sign with them? It's possible. I mean, anything's possible. But no, Sting is not going to AEW to wrestle. He's not, you know, coming back or anything like that. And here's the reality with Sting. Sting does not need to be wrestling another match. The match that Sting wanted, he still talks about it in interviews that he does. I want to wrestle The Undertaker. I want my match with The Undertaker. And to be honest with you, after the Boneyard match at WrestleMania, there's probably never been a better time to get that Sting-Undertaker match because they could do a cinematic match. They don't have to take a lot of bumps. So, you know, the appeal is kind of there, although I think Undertaker could probably just, you know, call it quits after the Boneyard match and go out on a high note. But, you know, for years, Sting has said, that's the match that I want. Well, he's not going to get that match. And he's not going to wrestle in WWE because they're not going to clear him. So, unless Sting wants to wrestle so badly and doesn't want to go out with that Seth Rollins match that he says, all right, listen, I'll come into AEW and I'll make an appearance. I'll do one match. Why? Who would he even wrestle? Who would Sting wrestle? What match is there for him in AEW that people are clamoring for? It would go against everything that AEW is supposed to stand for. AEW is supposed to be, oh, for the fans, and we're going to feature young talent and all this talent that's just amazing in the ring, and they're going to bring in 60-something-year-old Sting to do a match against who? MJF? Archer? It doesn't make sense. Sting should not be in the ring. I'll tell you where his value is. I'll tell you why. If I'm Tony Khan, I am reaching out to Sting. I am going to talk to Sting. I want to have a conversation with this guy. You know why I want to have a conversation with him? Because AEW has their own first ever line of action figures coming out very, very soon. And I would love to sign Sting to a deal and get him to be part of that action figure lineup. Series 1 or Series 2. I don't know how close they are to releasing the first line. I'd love to get Sting in for that. You know what else AEW was working on? Cody's, you know, talked about it recently. A video game. You know what I'd love to have Sting for? A video game. I'd love to have Sting in there as a playable character in my video game. That's where I think the real value is in Sting. It's in the name. It's in the being able to use the personality for merchandising purposes. To have an action figure for him, to have him in a video game, to have him as an ambassador maybe for the company, since they've done stuff, you know, they brought in Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, Jake Roberts, you know, even as a manager. How many old school managers can you have? We've got Tully, Arn, Jake. Who would, you know, you're going to bring Sting in to manage somebody? He doesn't need to, but you want to bring him in as a brand ambassador and make some money off Sting merchandise? Shit. If I'm Tony Khan, I'm picking up the phone and making that phone call right now, or I'm sending him a DM on Twitter. That's where the value is in Sting, not wrestling. Sting does not need to be wrestling in a match. That's completely ridiculous. Of course, Sting probably shouldn't be going anywhere right now. He's in that at-risk age group. He should probably just stay right where he is. He's probably a lot safer that way. But if I'm Tony Khan, that's what I'm doing. I'm not talking to him about wrestling. I'm not talking about him being a general manager. You know, that's another thing that AEW, when they started, the whole point was we want to be different than what WWE is doing. So AEW has been doing fine without there being an authority figure. They don't need a GM. It's all about merchandising. Hey, Turtlehead, what's going on, man? I missed you on the Undertaker stream yesterday. Thank you, Turtleman. It says, Suge is pronounced Shug. Oh, is it Shug? Am I not hip enough to know that? Like Shug Knight? I know Shug Knight. Is it Shug? I apologize. Shug D. I've been corrected. Crash, thank you for the two. Is Double or Nothing AEW's big annual event like WrestleMania? I guess it kind of would be. Yeah, I think it would. More so even than All Out. I would say Double or Nothing has kind of been positioned as kind of like their WrestleMania in a way. Yeah, I'd say so. I think that's fair. And the True Heel Master, thank you for the five. I am a big fan of Mr. Brody Lee. And MJF, I enjoy that heelish S-H-I-T. Well, I mean, it's in your name. You call yourself the True Heel Master, so I assume that you probably side with the heels. It's not that much of a stretch to figure that out. I don't know how many people watched NXT tonight. I have not watched it yet, but I did watch the big announcement. So if you don't want to be spoiled by the big announcement from NXT, then you better get out of here, because I'm going to talk about it right now real quick before we get to the poll results and your calls. On NXT tonight, they were promising a big announcement, and they said Triple H and Shawn Michaels were going to be the ones to make the announcement on TV. And the big announcement was we had Triple H, Shawn Michaels, and Road Dogg sitting in the back announcing the date and name for the next NXT TakeOver show. This will be the first TakeOver since TakeOver Portland back in February. We didn't get a TakeOver Tampa. Instead, we got those matches on TV. And so it will be NXT TakeOver in your house. In your house is back. It is back in NXT TakeOver format on Sunday night, June 7th, on the network. And I don't think they announced this, but I think PW Insider had a note. It'll be most likely from the empty Full Sail Arena. So that's where it will be emanating from. But how about that? WWE dusting off the old In Your House name and bringing back the show for an NXT TakeOver. Now, you might be asking, well, why are they doing this? What, unless they're going to have it in an actual house, why would they be calling it In Your House? Well, this month, in fact, I think this past week, I think it was on Mother's Day back in 95, was the 25-year anniversary. It was 25 years ago this month that the first In Your House took place in May of 1995, which I didn't even realize until I heard that they were bringing back In Your House, that this month is 25 years since the first In Your House back in 95, where they gave a house away. Now, do you remember who they gave the house to? Do you remember who won the house? An 11-year-old. They gave a house away to an 11-year-old. I'm a lot older than 11 years old. I still don't have my house. But this fucking kid got a house. I'd love to know if he's still in it. Or how he paid the taxes on it. So I was thinking about my favorite In Your House moments. And feel free to chime in the chat too. Super chats, whatever. If you have favorite In Your House memories, moments, matches. Canadian Stampede main event July 97 In Your House. One of the greatest, you know, matches probably in company history. That is obviously a highlight. That was an In Your House pay-per-view. Canadian Stampede, the first ever Hell in a Cell match. Bad Blood In Your House, October 97. Shawn Michaels against The Undertaker. Big Kane debut in the end. Again, one of the greatest matches in company history. That's a highlight. St. Valentine's Day Massacre, the first ever official one-on-one match. I guess, I don't know if that match on Raw in 98 would count. But McMahon and Austin, one-on-one in the cage. The last time we got the black bar, blue bar cage. St. Valentine's Day Massacre in 99. Just realized I should have popped this like Orange Cassidy does. I didn't look douchey enough. Now I look like a complete douche. There we go. St. Valentine's Day Massacre, Big Show debut. So anyway, those are some highlights from In Your House from over the years. And of course, there's also the In Your House PC video game, which I still have. It's I should have taken it out. I have like a CD-ROM or DOS game or whatever it was. So, yeah, Mind Games. There you go. Mind Games, Mankind and Shawn Michaels. There you go. Buried Alive, Undertaker and Mankind, October of 96. I like the Buried Alive stipulation. I thought the Buried Alive matches were a lot of fun. Let's check out the poll results, see what you guys thought of these shows tonight, both Dynamite and NXT. Again, you can vote at Salamos. If you see my handle, it's right below my face here on screen. That's where you can go to vote. Here's the AEW poll so far. We've got almost 800 votes. 82, roughly 82%. Thumbs up, 18% thumbs down, which is an excellent percentage. Let's flip over to NXT. And it's a little bit less. 64.6% thumbs up and just 35% thumbs down. Well, I should rephrase that. Only 64% thumbs up to 35% thumbs down. I mean, I remember a period of time where I'd be given NXT 75 to 80% every week. What's happened to NXT? Yeah, but 64 is still pretty good. 64 is still pretty good. So again, go on Twitter and vote if you would like to. And right now we'll take a few calls here. Dylan, thank you. Dylan Marshall Sovi with the five. I really wish they would bring the stage back for this takeover. And Trey Flo, thank you for the $5 super chat drop there. WWE In Your House was the original takeover specials in the sense of this is the default name WWE gave to these specials. Yeah, you know, Steeler Nation says votes in the polls are pretty low. Compared to what they used to be, they are. But that's just a reflection on interest in the shows, right? Even the ratings are down. AEW would usually be good for 900,000, 950,000. NXT would be in the 700,000 to 800,000 range. Everything is down now. You would think that people are bored. If anything, they'd be watching more wrestling, but that just is not the case. That just has not been borne out. And, I noticed these trends in the polls. When interest is low, the poll totals are down. When there's a big show that's promoted, poll totals go up. Money in the Bank was sky high. Money in the Bank, there was a lot of interest in those Money in the Bank matches at Titan Tower. We had over 4,000 votes in the Money in the Bank poll. Hey, Knicker Doodle, $5. What's up, Orange? Been a fan of yours since 2014. Hope you are well and safe in these weird times. I appreciate that. So let's take some calls. You have the number there on your screen. And let's see what you guys thought of these shows here tonight. I think we'll start with 502, and we'll go from there. 502?
Solid Monster.
Hey, what's going on?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good.
Just had a couple of quick thoughts. Number one, I think I speak for everybody when I say that we all owe Lance Archer huge thank you. It's because of that man that we did not have to endure the weekly obligatory Brandi Rhodes appearance.
Well, you know, she'll be back probably next week.
Probably so, but, you know, I'll take a timeout from her anytime I can get it.
Well, I mean, yeah, Brandi's, she has her moments where, you know, where she's defending Cody and she's very, you know, she's very good. And then she has other moments where some of that dialogue she was reciting, I think it was last week, is cringe-inducing.
Yeah, yeah. Throwback to the, what they call it, the Nightmare Collective.
Ah, don't remind me. Yes, the Nightmare Collective.
Yeah, glad that's over.
Well, at least they knew enough to get rid of that.
For sure. Just had a quick thought on Brody Lee. As an AEW fan, you know, it almost kind of pains me to say it. I don't know if I'm in the minority here, but so far it seems like he's proven Vince McMahon right. I really expected him to come in and make more of a splash than he has. But I don't know. He strikes me as kind of pedestrian, both in the ring and on the mic, except for that one promo he did the very first night he showed up. It's kind of weird that Lance Archer, I think, has been much more impressive. Now, I don't know if he is just awful on the mic or what, but it feels like Jake the Snake Roberts' talents might have been better suited for Brody. It just kind of feels like he needs the help more.
Yeah, I mean, at first we all, well, not we all, but I mean, a lot of people thought that Jake was going to be with him. You know, because I've heard Archer speak. Archer, you know, Archer doesn't really need Jake, if we're being perfectly honest here. You know, Archer doesn't need him. Archer can talk for himself. Brody, right. I thought, you know, obviously they had other plans for him as far as being in this role as a leader. So if you're going to lead your own faction, then you don't need a manager. But I thought they were building to that debut in Rochester, and he was going to come out with, or the guy that Jake was teasing was going to be Brody. And I'm not sure that wouldn't have been the better choice. I might agree with you. But look, let's see what kind of match he has with Moxley at the pay-per-view. I'm just not a fan of the whole Dark Order thing. You know, I think it's not so much that I don't think that Brody Lee, you know, can be a player on the roster. I don't see him as being a headline main event guy. I never said that, but he wasn't doing anything in WWE. So I think he'll fall somewhere in the middle. You know, he could be somebody who can be a TNT champion, you know, at some point. I'm not the biggest fan of the whole Dark Order thing.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And, yeah, let's see what he does at the pay-per-view. You know, the jury might still be out. You know, who knows how he'll do in a big-time spotlight. But right now, yeah, I'm not sold. But, you know, I'm hoping he proves me wrong. But that's about it, man. I'll go ahead and get off here. By the way, nice ECW hat last week. That was great.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I got that with my Rise and Fall of ECW DVD many, many moons ago. And I don't really wear hats, so I kind of put it away. I didn't think about it. And then I rediscovered it last winter. I said, boy, this thing actually is pretty good. So I started wearing it a few times. And with this whole situation now and not being able to get a haircut, it was bothering me. So I just put it on. It was just like, just put it on, see what happens. And then I got messages from people saying, oh, I got the same DVD. Did you get that in the DVD package? I said, yeah. So they must have had a bunch of extras and just gave it away to people all those years ago. Let us go to 484.
Hey, Solid Monster. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on this Wednesday night?
Same shit, different day. Working from home constantly, you know, all that fun stuff.
I know that feeling.
Just a quick thought. First of all, I totally agree with the previous caller about Brody Lee. I have been kind of underwhelmed, you know, as well with him since his debut. And I think maybe more, it's one of those circumstances where they don't have all the guys, kind of have to throw Brody Lee into that match, you know, with Moxley. out of circumstance. I think normally, I don't think he'd be in that match. I just think it's one of those things where he's there, put it together, see what happens. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think under normal circumstances, it would have been somebody else. I almost would have preferred that it be MJF. I was kind of surprised when they announced it was going to be Brody, but I assume he's just the guy for Moxley to beat until he gets to the next guy, and maybe the next guy is MJF. Feels like MJF is just kind of treading water, you know, with Jungle Boy and that whole thing. But it also
That's going to be an awesome match to watch, though, too. I mean, remember that one Dynamite leading up to Revolution, him and Jungle Boy put on a hell of a match.
I do remember that.
That's going to be
a, I do. But I just think he could be doing more. You know, he beat Cody, and then it feels like he's kind of taking a step back.
And speaking of Cody, with the Cody Archer match, Cody has lost his, I guess you could say, his last two high-profile pay-per-view matches. You think it's almost a given that he should win this one? Because, I mean, I don't know if he loses. It's hard to say popularity when there's no one in the building, but, you know, loses something if he loses three straight high-profile matches? Or do you think at this point, does Cody really need a belt right now and maybe to upgrade Archer more than he already is, maybe put him over anyway?
I think I don't think Cody needs a belt, but in storyline, he can't challenge for the world title. And so the TNT title, I think, is perfect. You know, he is one of the most popular guys in the company. I don't like the idea that he just kind of beats Archer straight up. Archer is still relatively new. But yeah, you can only lose so many times. And I guess the question is, who are they going to have Mike Tyson present the title to? You know, are they bringing Tyson in to present it to the heel? And then what? Was he going to knock out Jake the Snake? I don't think so. You know, if if Archer had like an MJF type manager, I would say Archer wins, Tyson knocks out the manager. I don't think that's going to happen here. So I kind of think, you know, them bringing in Tyson, and we'll see what happens, I guess, on the go-home show next week. It feels like this is shaping up for Cody to get, you know, to get that big win that has eluded him. And then the TNT title, he can try to just make that his own and give that title some prestige, and because he is one of the top one or two baby faces in the entire company. And also, here's something else to consider. Darby Allin lost to him again in the tournament. So that's two losses, I believe, right? They had the draw, and then Darby lost to Cody twice. There's a story there.
Right.
Darby has to beat him at some point. I think Darby would be perfect for the TNT title. Maybe the idea is let's get the title on Cody, and then it all out, wait a few months, Darby finally gets his win over Cody, and when he does, he wins the championship.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense to me if they go that way, too. A Cody heel turn to make that even more special. I think that something like that would happen, since you called him a natural heel already, even though he's getting cheered. Or he's saying that before.
Yeah.
Do you think they eventually go that direction when fans are back?
Eventually everybody's going to turn heel eventually. I mean, eventually it could be eventually it could be a long time. Eventually it could be 6 months. It could be 3 years. I don't think I would turn him this soon. No, he's too big of a baby face to lose. And I don't think I would do that probably in the next year. I would hold off on doing that.
And so, and you mentioned, In Your House and some memories about the In Your Houses. I remember that specific one, Mind Games, because being from the Reading area, big, you know, ECW and everything, I saw it back then. Now, granted, I'm still kind of new back then to how things worked a little bit. I thought ECW was there for real, not staged. And of course, how they acted there, it was like, holy shit, something really, something big is going on here.
Yeah.
You know, and that's my lasting memory of being in your houses for me. It was the ECW guys. And, you know, I thought that was one of the coolest things.
I think there were WWE guys who worked there who also weren't clued into what's going on or what was going on. And they also were kind of hot when they saw those ECW guys in the front row and they got into their little tiff. So, you weren't the only one who got worked by that angle. I think some of the people in the company did too.
I still remember those kids in the front row who looked completely freaked out when, like, Sandman's doing the beer thing and Tommy Dreamer's going ape shit and, like, getting so close to him. I remember those little kids, like, holy hell, Dreamer, get the hell away from me. What's going on here? You know, because they're right next to their dad and whatnot. I still remember that. And then the following night at the Hershey Park Arena, it's like, wow, what's going on here? And then they kind of just dropped it right away. But, you know, that's my big memory of that with the In Your Houses.
That was one of those memorable moments. So, maybe I'll talk more about In Your House on the Sunday show. We'll see. Anything else?
All right. So, well, that's it, man. Take it easy, man.
All right. Thank you for the call. So, that was from PA. Again, you see the number on your screen. If you want to chime in, this is your chance before we wrap up the stream here. I do appreciate everybody tuning in here and spending some of your Wednesday night with me, Orange Cassidy, here on the stream. And let me just see who we can go to next. I want to make sure I get to different places. We stick to different parts of the country. Why don't we shift over to 708?
How you doing? My name is Micah. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Micah.
All right. Jason Solomon, this is fun. I'm not going to take up too much of your time. And honestly, I'm going to be honest, I didn't even watch Dynamite tonight. But I've been a fan of you since like 2014 or 15, something like that. And yes, and I always wanted to, like, I've been seeing your videos and I saw it was live tonight on YouTube. And I'm like, hey, let me see, maybe I can get a call in and just tell the guy, thank you, Solomon, for everything that you do every Sunday. Your shows are fantastic. I used to be a fan of Aaron Rift from No DQ, and I heard you, and I kind of, like, transitioned. I don't really listen to Aaron Rift anymore like that. I mean, I do it from time to time, but it's mainly you on Sundays, some Wednesdays, and when you got your sound off extras and stuff. And I actually do have a couple questions, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Okay, so one, I'm just curious. What is it with you? I'm looking at the screen right now. You're a two-time WWE champion, I can see. What is it with you and why you don't like when people bring their belts to the show? I'm just curious.
I just don't understand it. I mean, I have two of these behind me, and they're for display purposes. And they're I mean, one of them's like 8 pounds. The other one feels like it's like 11 or 12. And when I go to a show, right, it's not like you have a lot of real estate anyway. When you're sitting there, everyone's all kind of squished in together, although now in the future we may not be. But these things are gigantic. Like, if you're going to a show and you're going to buy one, like, I totally get that. That makes sense to me. But to bring this giant thing with you and lug it around is just not – it's just something I've never understood. As somebody who has these two things behind me, I can never imagine flying to WrestleMania and packing this in my luggage – and then, you know, hauling it around with me for 8 hours, which is what WrestleMania is these days. It's just, I don't get it. I begrudge people for it. I'm just saying, it's not something I would ever do. I would look at it, I would admire it, and that's exactly where it would stay. I would not be taking it all over the place with me unless I was defending it, which I'm not.
Cool. Got you. And then, okay, just one last question.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know your all-time favorite wrestler is Bret Hart, and you would love to see Bret Hart versus Kurt Angle, you know, as a dream match. Mm-hmm. But is there, like, a dream match from people of, let's say, like, today's roster who kind of have, like, not interacted? Like, me personally, I would love to see Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley, you know, or somebody like, something like AJ Styles versus Edge, or, you know, like stuff, something like that. Do you have like a fantasy match or dream match or anything like that?
Of current people, you mean from the current roster?
Yes, current roster.
No, not really. I mean, Lesnar and Lashley was a match I thought they were going to do when Lashley first came back. And now, all of a sudden, they're starting to build up Lashley again. Could they make me interested in a Lashley-Lesnar match? Maybe. But I can't sit here right now and tell you that I'm dying to see that match. When I think of somebody like Lesnar, I would have loved to have seen Brock against Vader like years ago. Imagine like Vader in his prime, Big Van Vader against, you know, Brock Lesnar. I mean, that's a match that would appeal to me. Like you said, Bret and Kurt. I mean, I could think of a whole bunch of different dream matches, but in terms of the current roster, like you know, Rollins and Roman and Corbin and no, I mean
no Corbin,
no Corbin, Elias and oh my God, this roster. And anyway, no, I mean there's really no current what I would call dream match that I could think of. Yeah, those matches I'd like to see, like certain guys in NXT when they get called up, Riddle and Lesnar, still a match I'd love to see. I wouldn't call it a dream match, but I'd love to see it if that counts.
Right. Okay. Okay. Cool. And just a side note, I'm gonna let you go. Just a side note. I remember your review from the Royal Rumble with Lesnar and Cesaro only getting 2 minutes. Trust me, I felt your pain because I wanted to see those two go at it as well. So trust me, brother, you're not the only one that's suffering on that. And also, my favorite sports team is terrible too, the Chicago Bulls. So, you know, there we go.
Well, then, you know my pain here. We got the Knicks here in New York, which, you know, you talk about the worst of the worst.
Yeah, so look at that. That's two of us.
All right, there you go.
But thank you for giving me the time to call, and I'll try to call you again on another stream.
Awesome. Have a good one. Sounds great. Thank you for calling in. Oh, that just reminds me of how awful the New York Knicks are. Oh, my goodness. Let's go to 817. There we go. 817, you're on the air. Oh, my God. What was that?
Hey, Palomar.
What? Carlos Lugo. What was that, Carlos?
I'm not sure. I thought
a fax machine had called me. Wow.
I heard that, too, but I don't know if that was on your end.
Woo! Boy, I heard that.
I want to shout out my advocate Turtlehead and my stablemate Octavia.
Oh, here we go.
I have a question for you. So regarding so Sami Zayn was just stripped of his title, and Andrade, whenever he was popped for his wellness policy violation, he kept his title for a month. What do you think about the difference on the way that they were treated on retaining their title?
Well, I can only assume that the reason they're stripping Sam, and I don't know this, but I assume the reason they're stripping Sammy of the championship is because he has opted not to come to the shows with everything going on. You know, supposedly the talent was given the choice. If that's his choice, then there may be no end date for when he's going to come back.
And yes, that is what I saw online, that he was concerned about the whole COVID-19.
Right. And so if that's the case, then you can't just keep the title on ice for months on end. You've got to get it off of him. Andrade was different. I mean, Andrade, who knows what goes through their heads with these things? Some guys they punish, some guys they don't. Look, I would have rather they take the title off Andrade when I look at what they've done with him. They don't do a fucking thing with this guy. This guy's the United States champion. He loses every time I look at him on television. What the hell does he even have a title for? If he's not going to defend it, if he's not going to, you know, have a couple of successful defenses, they may as well strip him too. Just strip everybody at this point. But for Sammy, if he's going to be gone indefinitely, then you got to get the belt off him. You can't just have that title, you know. Brock Lesnar, when they used to have the championship on ice for months at a time, it was just because they knew, okay, we're going to wait until this pay-per-view and then Brock will be back. If they don't know when Sammy's going to be back, you got to get the belt off him. It's just that simple.
Okay, and I also have another question concerning AEW.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Omega was pretty much at the very tippy top of New Japan, you know, main eventing shows, and now he's in AEW, and he really hasn't had any impact on the brand. It's almost like Steve Austin going to Japan and jerking the curtain. Why do you think this is?
It's his choice. He's commented on this before. He says that when he signed with AEW, his goal was to help create new talent and get other people over. Apparently, he's been a driving force behind the scenes for the women and bringing people like Riho into the company and things like that. He just sees it as, I've got to do what I need to do to help the company. It's not about me. And I disagree with that. I think it's great that he wants to help the company. But you're Kenny Omega, right? You had this certain profile coming out of your stint in Japan. And I think the company could have really used that version of Kenny Omega on top as this big, you know, this big name wrestling for the championship. They could always get back to that. I think ultimately, who knows, he may be the one to beat Moxley for the title. You know, Moxley beat him. Omega still has to get his win back over Moxley at some point. I think it's noble that he wants to help other people. You can help other people, but help yourself. AEW can use all the star power that it can find. They've got Kenny Omega. People were calling him the best wrestler in the world. We really haven't had a chance to see that yet. So hopefully in the future, we'll get to see a little bit of that old Kenny Omega come out.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jason, I'm going to let you go. Looking sharp in that Miami Vice.
Miami Vice, you're the second person to mention Miami Vice tonight. I honestly didn't even make the connection. I just was doing the whole, this is what I wore on the Jericho cruise when people were stopping me left and right, although I had the glasses on, but I couldn't wear the glasses now because just the reflection of the lights wouldn't be good. So anyway, thank you for that. I appreciate that.
All right, have a good night.
All right, you too. Miami Vice, another one of those TV shows I used to watch when I was younger. Miami Vice, Knight Rider, Punky Brewster, Masters of the Universe. Boy, did they fuck up on that Legion of Doom special. On Vice, the Legion of Doom mention, connecting it to He-Man. Who messed that up? Don't think I'm not going to talk about that when I do my review on Sunday. Legion of Doom has nothing to do with He-Man. I'm going to go on a He-Man rant here. I better move on to the next call. Let's go. 3-2-1.
Yo, Solomon, how are you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing all right, man. I got to say, man, I got to be honest with you. I didn't watch NXT. I didn't watch AEW. I actually just wanted to call and saying, you looking badass in that getup, dude. Yo, rocking out and represent. Well, Orange Cassidy, bro.
Hey, you know,
you got to do that again for Halloween.
I hope I can go out for Halloween. I have a feeling I'm not going to be going anywhere for Halloween. But if I can go out, this is the easiest costume in the world.
Yeah, you should do Daniel Bryan as well, too.
It's not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea. Now, you didn't watch either show, but is there at least a question in there somewhere?
Yeah. I have a question. Do you think it's hypocritical for Cody Rhodes to say that he won't be taking in Zack Ryder because he's his friend, but yet he uses the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, Hangman Page, etc.?
Did he say that? I thought he meant that, you know, in like a joking way. I didn't think he was serious when he said that.
I mean, I just kind of took it like kind of hypocritical, but it was just one of those things where it's just one of those things I've seen in AEW that it's kind of been like Cody and his friends.
I believe
that's my only little knock.
I believe he was being sarcastic when he said that.
Okay.
Yeah. Anything else?
Well, I just wanted to chime in. I just saw you on the live stream that you were rocking the Orange Cassidy. I just had to chime in and call.
Well, I'm glad you did. I want you to call in more often.
All right, man. You take care, man.
All right, you too.
You have a good night.
You too. So that's from 3-2-1. All the lines are jammed up, so if you want to hear in these final minutes, attempt to call in. I'll try to get you on if you want to take that chance. We got people from all over the place. Actually, I think we got one more in earlier from the True Heel Master. It says, we need you to grow your beard like Mr. Brody Lee. Well, that ain't going to happen. In fact, you could probably kiss this goodbye because this is probably going away tomorrow. I think I've reached the point where it's just, you know, I don't know if I could take much more of this, but I do appreciate that. Let's go. Unless people think differently. If enough people think differently, then I won't do it. I'll leave it the way it is. 540. Going
hey,
once.
Hey, Monster, how are you?
There you are. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Yeah, you kind of scared me a little bit earlier because I'm like gullible as all hell. So I'm thinking when you were like, oh, we have a tragedy going on. And I'm like, oh, God, another wrestling death.
Well, we did.
And then you were like,
But we did have another wrestling death tonight. I mean, does he not count? Do robots not count? I mean, he was an important character on television. I mean, we should all be mourning the loss of Vanguard 1.
As much as a Talking Cat and New Japan, I guess.
Yeah, that's right, Daryl. That's right. People were heartbroken when Daryl was ripped to shreds by Bad Luck Fale. I mean, does Vanguard 1 count less than Daryl? Or Pepper the Dog? Remember Pepper?
No, I don't. I didn't even know about New Japan until you told me about that. And then I saw the scene and I was like, okay.
When did you start watching wrestling? I'm just curious.
Oh my gosh, I'm a newer one. So
okay.
2009, but I got into the, yeah.
Okay. Newer one. That would explain the whole Pepper thing, and I'm not even going to go into it, but that at least makes sense.
Do I even need to look it up or?
No, not really. I don't think
you
do.
Okay.
I don't think you do.
Yeah, so I just thought like the show was just, I thought it was just average, honestly. Like there wasn't anything that really knocked my socks off or anything. The robot death scene was probably the best part of the night. Oh, which
that's horrible.
Yeah, I'm.
That's a terrible thing to say.
Like I guess it was just an average. Show, but.
Yeah, look, this was not one of their best shows. On the whole, though, I thought it was good. You know what I liked also, and I noticed this more early on, like in the opening match and during the Cody segment. They've had wrestlers in the crowd making noise now for a few weeks, but it really almost for like a second there, they were doing like chants and they were chanting Cody's name and they were chanting different things. And for like a split second, I almost just forgot that it was the wrestlers. And it almost felt like we had our first real crowd, you know, for the first time in a while. And it sounded good. And then I remembered, okay, it's the wrestlers. But, you know, I think it adds something to some of those segments instead of just having a dead silence, you know, like we have on a lot of the WWE shows. But, you know, they were moving stories forward for the pay-per-view. They had more wrestlers back, which was good because I think it was getting a little old seeing the same people over and over and over again because they had such a limited roster for those tapings they did. So it was a good show.
Yeah.
It was not great. It was not their best. But I, on the whole, I thought it was a good effort.
Yeah. So, I just have a real quick question and then I'll actually get out of here real quick. Do you think that the CDC or the health department will, enforce like the wrestling organizations to kind of go easy on blade jobs or like high spots or just like kind of minimize it once this whole pandemic, goes away? Or do you think that they're kind of just going to sweep it under the rug and then we go back to the usual blood and stuff?
Yeah, no, I mean, wrestling is always going to fall under the radar. I mean, wrestling is not a priority. You know, people just don't, you know, when it comes to the politicians and the local elected officials and stuff, wrestling probably brings a lot of money into a lot of different states, Florida being one of them. So in a lot of cases, they probably just look the other way anyway. But I think wrestling is just so insignificant to a lot of these people and they don't take it seriously, which is why they've gotten away with a lot of what they've gotten away with over the years, that nothing's going to change. You know, during the pandemic, after the pandemic, nothing's going to change.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you for taking my call again.
Thank you for calling in. We had somebody here who actually enjoyed the death of Vanguard 1. Celebrating the death of Vanguard 1. That's horrendous. that's terrible. That is terrible. Let's go to 347.
Hey, how's it going, Jason?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I just wanted to say that, I mean, for me personally, I think the show did its job. Mm-hmm. I mean, it got me hyped for Double or Nothing. I mean, last week, after the show ended, I wasn't really, you know, how do I say this? I really wasn't, I guess I didn't want to watch it, but now since after this episode, I do want to watch it. I do have a question though.
Sure.
Concerning this match that they announced today. I forget what it was called, the Stadium Stampede, is that what it was called?
Yes, the Stadium Stampede is coming up at Double or Nothing.
Yeah. Do you think that's a chance for them to maybe do like a cinematic match?
It might be. You know, yeah, sure. Why not? I mean, it could be. It could be cinematic. I don't know. I don't know if it will or not. But if they wanted to do it, then sure, they can do it.
I mean, because the whole point of them not doing the what was this thing called, the cage match, I guess.
Oh, blood and guts.
They couldn't fit.
Blood and guts. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was because I think it was because why they didn't want to have too many people in the ring at once because of the whole situation.
Well, here's the thing about that. I think that's part of the reason, but I also think that they're really upset that they had this packed house, either sold out or almost sold out in Newark, and they really would like to do the match in Newark in front of people, and so they're just going to hold off on it as long as they possibly can until they can get more of an actual audience. I think that has more to do with it than anything else. But yeah, they also said that, look, to do Blood and Guts the way that they want to do Blood and Guts, you have, what is it? I guess it would be 5-on-5. You have two rings. You need a referee, at least one. Maybe you have more than one. Maybe a referee on the outside. The camera people. So when you add everybody together, you're talking probably 11, 12, 13 people. This, if it's just... Well, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if how they're going to explain this away. It's an open-air stadium, I guess, maybe an empty stadium, so therefore it's safe. I don't know how they'll explain that one away. But I think it just proves the first point, which is they're going to do some variation of the match, but they really don't want to do that first Blood and Guts. Basically, it's a War Games match. They don't want to waste it in an empty building. So they're going to wait, and they're going to hope that in a few months, things kind of sort of get back to normal, maybe a little bit, not too much. And then maybe even if they get a building with 50% capacity, then they'll do Blood and Guts. I think they want that to be a big deal, and it can't be a big deal if it's not in front of people.
That's true. Who do you think is going to represent the Inner Circle? Because Cody Kent and the Young Bucks, I haven't seen them, and Paige, who knows if he might be back. I can think of right now is that.
Well, no, I assume that they're going to be coming back. I mean, it's the Elite against the Inner Circle. So the Elite is, I guess Matt will be joining them. Well, I don't know. That's a good question, actually, because Matt was going to join. Well, let's see here. Matt was going to join originally because Nick Jackson was injured in storyline. So now Nick Jackson is recovered. So if the Bucks come in, if Hangman comes in, we have Omega, Cody. Well, Cody has a match. So I guess maybe.
Yeah, Cody has a match.
I guess that would be Matt's spot. So, I mean, my guess is it would be probably Omega, Hangman, Hardy, and the Bucks, I guess. That would be the Elite.
Yeah, I guess so. But anyway, that's what I want to ask. Just wanted to say that I really enjoyed your live stream. I really enjoyed your show.
Thank you.
And please try to stay healthy, my brother.
You too,
stay
my healthy. Friend. Absolutely. You too. Have a good night.
Have a good night.
Goes for everybody listening live. Everybody in the chat, everybody on the stream, stay safe. We're not leaving yet. But I want you to be able to tune in next week and the week after and the week after and the week after. So you got to make sure you stay healthy. Let us go to, I believe it's Virginia. And if it's not Virginia, then the caller will correct me. Is this Virginia 276?
Yeah, man. How you doing, Assault Monster?
I'm doing very well. Who am I talking to?
My name's Drew.
Drew! What's going on, Drew?
Man, you are the man. I love hearing all your takes on wrestling. And AEW is killing WWE right now. And I just want to say, Saul Monster, you're the man, dude. Like, I listen to you on my way to work. You're the man.
I appreciate that. It means a lot, man. Now, are you still commuting to and from work, or are you working from home like a lot of other people are right now?
Unfortunately, I am a Lowe's assistant store manager, so I have to go to work, and I'm still there. But
so you are an essential. Man, you are an essential worker then.
Yes, correct. Yes, and so much of you want to believe it, man. Like, we're making insane sales. Like, and these people don't, they're not for essential or whatever. But anyway, that's here and there. But Soul Monster, like, you are the man. you are the man. That's all I can say, man. Like, and I love hearing your takes on WWE and AEW, and I'm a subscriber, and you're the man, Salt Monster.
Well, Drew, that means a lot, and I love the fact that when people are at work or they're commuting or doing, I have people tell me when I do my laundry or whatever, I listen to your show, even if the show just helps you pass the time. I love hearing stuff like that, so thank you for sharing that with me. I appreciate that.
Yeah, definitely. I listen to it on my way to work. I listen to your Money in the Bank review while I drove today, so love you, buddy. Stay safe.
Thank you. You too. That's from Drew, essential worker working at Lowe's. It's funny, you know, when he said there a moment ago, he goes, you're the man. He said it a second time. It reminded me of that ridiculous segment from Raw. Oh, God, what year was it? 2010, probably, when Meatloaf came to, remember when Meatloaf came to Raw and he dared interrupted Randy Orton. Randy Orton was, he had a segment on Monday Night Raw. And out comes Meatloaf to promote his new album. And he's all wired. I don't know what he took before he went out there. Like he drank 5 cups of coffee or something. And he comes out, he goes, Randy Orton, you are the man. Randy Orton, Randy Orton. He goes, you are the man. I'm like, all right, cool it, dude. Like, what's wrong with you? And he busts out his CD, starts singing a track from his CD. But just the way he said it, the way that guy just said that, that reminded me of Meatloaf on Raw. Jesse Jasso, I did see your $7 Peanut Butter Vader Super Chat earlier. Thank you. He says, what are some of your favorite appearances from wrestlers in sitcoms? Maybe my favorite, one of my all-time favorite sitcoms, Married with Children, King Kong Bundy. That's where the Bundy name comes from. The Bundy name comes from King Kong Bundy. The creators were huge wrestling fans. Steve Rhodes. Rhodes comes from Dusty Rhodes. King Kong Bundy was on a few episodes, actually. I think he was on 3. The early seasons, I think he may have made 2 appearances, and then years later, I think he wrestled Bud Bundy in a giant bee costume at WrestlePalooza. So King Kong Bundy would get my vote. It's definitely not Big Show on the Big Show show. All right, let's do a couple more, and then I'll get out of here. Let's go. I think this is a New York caller. 917?
Hey, Salamanca, how you doing?
I'm good.
This is JC from New York City.
Hey, JC.
Home state.
My city. Home state.
Yeah, I spoke. Home city, home my state. Home state. You know what I mean? So, I think I called before. I forgot to say my name during a question I asked between who would have had a better ceiling between Brody Lee and Lance Archer. So I might be on that one. but yeah, man, I'm glad you're doing okay and you're staying safe as well during this crazy time. But I do want to ask like a question. There's a lot of sentimental moments in wrestling, but I want to ask, what is the one moment in wrestling that has made you tug your heartstrings and even probably almost got you to tears?
Well, we just had one tonight. we just had one with Vanguard One. Now, I mean, emotional moments. I mean, look. I mean, are we excluding wrestler deaths and death announcements because? You know, we've got a Dark Side of the Ring special on a certain someone coming up this Tuesday that was pretty emotional. So are we excluding
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I know.
Are we excluding that from the list?
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. Because those are pretty easy to pretty much pinpoint.
Honestly,
but like things that are like things that shock
you. Yeah. Honestly, I'll give you two. I'll give you two. I assume you're talking about I guess emotional can mean any number of things. I have no problem admitting that the post-match stuff at WrestleMania 7 with Randy Savage and Elizabeth, it got to me.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was very well done. And the two of them in storyline had been apart for a few years. And then Sherry losing her mind and kicking the crap out of Savage. And they keep cutting to Elizabeth in the crowd. Like, the way they set that whole thing up was so perfect. Of course, today, Kevin Dunn would, as he's filming Elizabeth in the crowd, would be, you know, shaking the camera up and down like a freaking idiot. But, yeah, and then she jumps out of the crowd, and she runs into the ring, and we rarely saw her get physical. I mean, a few times. The way they played that whole thing, I thought, was just brilliant. And even today, when I go back and I watch that moment, it's great. It's a great moment. The other one I would say is the end of the match at WrestleMania 33. And I just talked about this in my Undertaker review yesterday. When it looked like...
Yeah, I saw that last night.
Yeah, well, it was great. The documentary is great. But when it really finally hit me, like, oh, shit, this is it, you know? And I'm in the building, and I'm watching this. And he went to leave. He stops. He comes back. He takes the gloves off. He takes the jacket off. And there are people around me who were just openly... like sobbing. I wasn't sobbing, but it got to me because I realized in that moment, I said, all right, this is history right here, you know? And it sucks that he had this terrible match, but you know, I knew in that moment, it felt like this is a really big deal. Of course they undid it a year later, but we'll forget about that for a second. In that moment, it was a pretty emotional thing. Because here's a character that, you know, we've all seen now for almost 30 years. And he's kind of going out. He's old. He's slow or slower. It was kind of sad, but I thought, you know, the way they handled that was perfect until he came back. And then it was all undone the following year. But what the hell are you going to do?
So much, I guess.
What are you going to do?
But I do understand that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. But yeah, I just wanted to say hi, and I'm just calling the show and... you know, give my props to you for all the content you put out there. I mean, I was listening to the one with Herb Abrams, Dark Side of the Ring review, and
yes.
I almost laughed out loud in the street when you said the word booger sugar. I just...
Booger sugar! I love saying that. Booger sugar!
Yeah.
I think I've taken some callers on the stream. I've taken some callers on the stream tonight that I'm pretty sure before they've called in have taken some booger sugar before they called into the podcast. That's okay, though.
Or,
that's okay.
Yeah, well, it's sometimes you probably need a little bit of that. You know,
I guess so. I'll take your word for it. I'll take your word for it. But
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, but I appreciate everything. Solomon wants to keep doing what you're doing, and I'll always support what you do. And I always enjoy your content. And just be healthy, stay safe, and all that good stuff.
You too. Please stay safe. That goes out again to everybody. I cannot implore you. Be smart. Whatever you're doing, wherever you are, wash your hands. Wash your ass. Wash everything. Wash it twice just to make sure. Let's do two more. 513.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good.
I'll just be here. Okay. Solid Monster?
That's me.
I'm sorry. My phone's acting up. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Yeah, I had a question about it. I had a question real quick. Wanted to know if your opinion.
Sure.
They said Sting's contract's up with WWE and all that good stuff. And my question was this. Do you think there's a possibility that he can come in and be Darby Allin's like manager?
I don't know. What would be the connection there? Why? So he's turning down Taz. He says, I don't need your help. So why would Sting want to come in to manage Darby Allin?
Now, see, that's what I was thinking. But they said that Cody was talking to Sting. I mean, that's all speculation. So, I mean, I don't know if it's true or not, but I don't know. I just thought that a couple weeks ago, Cody made like a comparison to Sting and all that good stuff. And I was just
is Sting going to skateboard to the ring with him? Is that going to be the gimmick? Like, he'll come out on like a skateboard and they'll skateboard to the ring together?
Well, maybe he dyes his hair back, you know, Surfer Sting.
You know what? There you go.
Yeah.
See, that's why I asked you the question. I want some creative ideas out of you people, and that's a creative idea. I can get behind that. He puts the color paint back on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The old bright orange, trunks. You know, with the boots. Yeah.
Right. Yes.
I paid big money to see that, so.
I could get behind that.
I paid big money, dude.
I could get behind that. He surfs to the ring.
Yeah. Surfing with the skateboard with Darby Allin.
There you go. That's perfect.
Can I ask you one more question or ask you an opinion about something?
Sure, go for it.
Quick before I go.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about NXT bringing back the In Your House pay-per-view for TakeOver?
I think it's smart. You know, they have this name. It's the 25-year anniversary. They want to play off of it. I think know, nostalgia can be a very effective tool. I don't know that that means it's going to mean one single new sub to the network, you know, unless they're going to give a house away. You know, they gave a house away 25 years ago. Maybe they can give a football league away. Right? I hear there's one for sale. Could work. It could work. 954.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey there. Second time calling the show.
Hey, who am I talking to?
This is Orlando. Or as you called me, Florida man.
Oh, yes. It's Orlando from Florida.
But I live in Fort Lauderdale, so don't make the joke about Florida and my name and stuff. So
yes. Yeah. Well, I can never get over that it's Orlando, but you don't actually live in Orlando.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I always get that. So I was just wondering how you felt about the foray. I think I missed your part. I may have to rewind just to see it because mm-hmm. I just caught you at the end. The four-way female match. Did you enjoy that? I think it was a really good match for the women.
Yeah.
To showcase.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. It was a little, I don't know if sloppy is the right word, but there were a few like rough spots in there. But I thought, on the whole, I thought it was good. I enjoyed it. And the right person won. Sheeta should be the one. I mean, she's number one in the rankings anyway. Sheeta, though, should be the one challenging for the championship. If it were me, I would have her win the title.
I agree with you, yeah. I would say in regards to that, I think she deserves to win the title since she's ranking number one. But I'm thinking they want to keep it on Nyla just a little bit longer. Maybe they're just waiting on somebody else to come and take the title from her. So
probably. Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I heard you say anything in regards about the whole Becky Lynch situation, but what do you think in regards to that? Are you happy for her? Or are you?
Yeah, of course I'm happy. I mean, why would I not be happy for her? I mean, I'll talk more about it on the show on Sunday because I haven't addressed it yet. So I'm waiting until the podcast on Sunday, but I think it's great. You know, I wish her nothing but the best. And I don't know what date, you know, Seth is expecting, but hopefully she'll be there with him when he goes into labor. And I wish them nothing but the best.
I'm thinking he'll probably like take some time off so that he'll be with her and while they're going to have the baby, because like, unfortunately his character is getting a little stale right now. So it's just, maybe they'll give him some time off so that way he could be with Becky.
Yeah. I mean, he should be getting paternity leave anyway. I mean, you got to give the guy at least a couple weeks off. You can't force him to work. So yeah, I would think that he would want to be there for that. And yeah, when the time comes, which I guess will be December. So around Christmas time. He'll probably be off TV for at least a few weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm happy for both of them because I know for a fact that, you know, I think I read that they wanted to start a family. I think Seth wanted to be a father. So I'm very happy for him for the last couple of years. You know, he found like his brother and his sister and like, you know, that's a really good time for
him. Yeah, that's right. Didn't he do that 23andMe thing and he found new family members he didn't know he had?
Yeah, exactly. So it's very interesting to find out when you do that 23andMe, you find like different DNAs of yourself, you know? So you find out like where your family's from and some cultures and, you know,
it's
very unique data.
There could be other little Solomon monsters out there that I'm not aware of. That's why I'm afraid to do it.
Well, I mean, you and Orange Cassidy could be brothers. I mean, so.
Could be. He should be sending me some of that AEW money if that's the case.
Have you taken a picture with him? Because like you guys should like take a picture together.
No, you know, that coward was not on the cruise that I went on, the Jericho cruise. I was going to confront him on there and then we have all this AEW talent on the cruise. And then I come to find out he wasn't even on the boat. He was too scared mm-hmm. and want to go face to face with me. Mm-hmm. So it's all right though. It's all good. I got no ill will towards him.
Oh, come on now. They should book it. Orange Cassidy versus his doppelganger.
Oh,
that'll be a great match. Everybody's good. That's going to sell off a pay-per-view.
Well, he missed it. He missed his moment. He missed his moment because I ain't going on a cruise ever again. I'm not going on a cruise ever again. So that's too bad. He missed his mark.
Okay. I wanted to mention that. And I like the fact that you're dressed as him right now. I'm watching right now on the YouTube. So
am I dressed as him? Or
do you have the shade?
Am I dressed as him or does he dress as me? I mean, that's really the question. Oh, yeah.
That's true. That's very
I'm just
true.
Saying.
My bad. My
I'm just
bad.
Saying.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty, I'll let you go so that way if there's anybody else that needs to ask questions, okay?
I appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. Just saying, am I really dressing as him or is he dressing as me? Balls of Steel Chicken, thank you for the $2 and actually the $5 too. Another Private Party versus Omega and Hangman would be awesome, but Best Friends will get the opportunity for the AEW tag team titles. Well, I don't know. I mean, who's going to defend him? Is Hangman? It sounds like Hangman Page may be coming back. If not, is Matt Hardy going to... It's like the whole Matt Riddle, Timothy Thatcher thing in NXT, right? Pete Dunne is stranded over in the UK. And so Timothy Thatcher in his first match in is a champion. They just gave the belt to him. So I don't know if that means Hangman's coming back or not. I would assume so. But I guess we'll find out very shortly. Let's see. This will probably be the last one here. And actually, we're going to go to the city where... Blood and Guts was supposed to be held, and maybe it still will be at some point. I believe this is Newark.
Yes, it is Newark.
It is Newark.
How are you, Saul Monster?
I thought it was Newark. I'm good. How are you, sir?
I'm pretty good. Actually, I'm in Oklahoma City right now.
Well, that is definitely not Newark.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
That is the complete opposite of Newark.
Yeah, it is. And things aren't too bad over here in terms of the coronavirus situation. Businesses are starting to reopen, mm-hmm. albeit, you know, a limited capacity.
Yeah. Go ahead.
My question is, I'm drawing a blank right now. With AEW, like, I would say this. Thank you, AEW, for bringing me back into pro wrestling after stopping from watching WWE for weeks now. I'm starting to catch up with them. My expectations of AEW will be, do you see guys like Darby Allin winning the big one at some point down the road?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think Darby is one of those kind of rising, shining stars in the company. I think first TNT title level and AEW title within a couple of years. Yeah, I could see him as the champion.
Oh, that's good. And one last question before I let you go. Will you see the possibility of New Japan and AEW working something out at some point?
I hope so. There's no reason for them not to. No reason for them not to. So yeah, I think at some point they will, because they will realize that there is something to be gained by both sides, especially for New Japan. They could definitely use some TV exposure here in this country. They're going to have a lot of rebuilding to do the longer this goes on for, because they're still not running shows. So yeah, I think it's the smart thing to do, and I think it'll happen at some point. It may take a while, but I think it'll happen.
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking forward to whenever that day happens. Because I'm pretty sure the internet will explode at some point about it.
Well, no, there'll be a lot of people. I don't know if it'll explode, but there's going to be a lot of people who I think are going to be very excited to see talent from New Japan making appearances on AEW and seeing stars from AEW who maybe used to be in New Japan and maybe they didn't leave on the best of terms, who are going to be able to go back and have big matches with some of the talent there. So I think... You know, you could say, well, what does AEW get out of it? I think AEW could get something out of it. I think New Japan, it's clear they would get something out of it. Maybe they would get more out of it than AEW would. But I'm hopeful that at some point they'll come to their senses and they'll work something out.
Definitely. Also, I'm looking forward to whenever they decide to do Blood and Guts, whether it's in Newark. Even if I have to take a flight over there mm-hmm. to watch it and then come back to work, I'm looking forward to Blood and Guts.
Yeah, I am too. And the sooner they can do it, the better, but could be a while.
Yeah, definitely. All right, Solid Monster, thank you for taking my call, and stay safe out there.
You too. Have a good night. I want to go to this caller here because he's coming from, I assume he is coming from a long way away, and I believe this might be our first caller here on the Wednesday stream. We've had people from all over the world, but I believe this people is calling all the way from Saudi Arabia. Is that correct?
Hey, Solid Monster.
Hey, what's going on? Who am I talking to?
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, my name... Hey, you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah, my name is Fawad. I'm from Jeddah, Saudi Arabia.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. I'm glad that you're calling in.
Yeah, sorry. I'm a bit nervous, but...
don't be. Fan. Don't be nervous.
I've been watching... Yeah, I've been watching it since 2014.
Well, thank you. That's 6 years. That's a long time.
Yeah. So I just want to say thank you for like doing these live streams in this difficult time, and doing this like it really helped us. Like I really listen to you every time I go to the university, so it really helps me like to stay with wrestling. Sometimes I don't watch wrestling, you know.
I don't blame you. Sometimes I don't want to watch wrestling.
Yeah, especially last year, it was like a difficult time for like the 2 years, especially last 2 years, which was especially a difficult time for us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I just want to let you know that me and my friends are big fans of you. So we are plan to hold the sign in the last Super Showdown show, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you and like we were four, so me and my friend were planning to hold your sign, and the other friend were planning to hold the sign for JD from New York.
Sure,
we're big fans of you both.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, it didn't get like, yeah, because I had to travel because I'm from Jeddah, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no time, and at the time there was a snowstorm. If you know. So at the time of the show, there was snowstorm. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So wait, there was a snowstorm where you lived?
No, in Riyadh, when I was traveling, there was like delayed in the plane. So you can see the like even wrestlers when they landed in Riyadh, there was a big snowstorm.
Oh wow! I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, but. They hold the show in December, the next show it's likely to be Crown Jewel, you know,
mm-hmm.
in Jeddah. So look up for any signs of you.
I will. I'm going to be on the lookout now. I'm going to be looking for a sound off sign.
Like we are planning to do a big one, especially.
Absolutely.
Because the last one didn't like make it because of time.
Well, that's great. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't know when the next Saudi Arabia show is going to be. It might be pushed back until next year. I don't know. But whenever it is, I'm going to be looking for that sign.
Yeah, man. So I have a question for you.
Sure.
So, you know, with these Saudi shows, they like to bring legends.
Mm-hmm.
With the So besides Taker and Goldberg, who do you think is next? I really want Austin, but I think it's hard.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be. I think Austin's not wrestling again. Austin's done. Yeah, you know, honestly, I would have said Sting, but apparently Sting is not under contract with them anymore. So if it's not Sting, then...
Yeah, I heard that he was really close to do the Super Showdown.
Yeah, there were rumors about that. I don't know how close he was or not, but I'm just thinking, you know, the problem is that the more of these shows that they do, if they just want to bring in different legends each time, you're kind of running out of names, right? You already had Shawn Michaels. You had Shawn Michaels come out of retirement. You had Goldberg. You had Undertaker's done a few matches. Who else? I don't know. I mean, you're not going to get The Rock. You're not going to get The Rock. You're not going to get...
No, it's really hard, yeah.
So I don't know. Kurt Angle's retired. Who else is there? I don't know that there's...
Punk done... I'm a big fan of Punk, but I don't think he would like to accept it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I'd have to think about that, because I think the problem is that, kind of like the Hall of Fame, they're running out of names. They're running out of big names. Hogan.
Do you think
maybe Hogan wants to come in and he, you know, the real American can go to Riyadh and he can wrestle a match.
The third show, he will do it.
Oh yeah.
If we can't do it, he comes. So maybe
give him enough money, he'll do anything.
But do you think Austin could accept what Hogan did, just the appearance? If they offered him.
You mean Stone Cold?
Yeah, Austin, Steve Austin.
No. I think he's done. I mean, if he was going to wrestle, he would have wrestled by now. He's not wrestling. He's done.
Maybe appearance, right? Down in the future.
Maybe to show up.
I really want that 15 song in Jeddah.
I could tell you really want him there. I mean, look, if they give him enough. If they give him enough money, I think he would make an appearance, but as far as maybe even do a stunner, but he's not going to do a match though.
Yeah. I really and I will make sure to, if he comes, I will make sure to go and make a video of it and send it to you.
Yeah, well, I want you to
see my reaction.
I want you to do that, because I want to see the kind of pop that he would get if he came out and the glass shatters and he comes out. He better get a big reaction if he goes all the way over there.
Yeah. So, last question. What do you think of the Saudi crowd? The first one, they banned the real fan. Mm-hmm. They put it far from the ring.
Yeah. I noticed that. I noticed that the crowd was very spaced out on that first. I think it was the first show or the first two shows. But I mean,
Grace for a Rumble.
Yeah, but the crowds, I mean, from what I remember of the shows, I mean, the crowds were pretty loud. It sounded to me, by that last show, when they had, who was the guy? It's the guy that they always kind of have him win on the Saudi show. I just forgot his name.
Mansoor, yeah.
Who was it?
Mansoor,
yes. I noticed that the reaction that he got on the last show, and I don't know if you were there or maybe you would know better than I would, but on television.
Yeah, I was there. Super Showdown, I attended, yeah.
Yeah.
Even Crown Jewel, all the Saudi shows, I attended.
Yeah, so it sounded to me like the crowd, they cheered him, but it wasn't as enthusiastic as it was the first few times. Like, are people getting tired of him winning every single time?
Yeah, man. To be honest, I was booing him too.
You were booing him.
And my friends.
Not a lot.
A lot of people were chanting for Ziggler.
Not a lot of love for Mansoor, I guess, in Saudi Arabia anymore.
They will realize it in time, I think. Even especially Jeddah, the Jeddah crowd is very what's happened. No,
mm-hmm. Sure.
You know what I mean? He don't do matches in television of WWE. You know, even NXT.
Yeah, and I wish they would do more with him. So, I would, because he's actually really good, and I think even here on NXT, he would probably get over and do really well. It's just like they only use him on the Saudi shows, and I'm like, well, if you could use him on NXT, I think he would do well here too.
It's really some annoying sometimes. That's why we're planning to do it more to make our voice heard, you know.
Well, you keep going to the shows, and then, like I said, I'm going to be looking for that sign, and I'm going to be on the lookout. And then if I see it, I'll have to screen cap it.
Yeah, man. Especially because the next show is very likely to be in Jeddah. In December, so look up for the signs.
I'll be looking. You bet I'll be looking for it.
Okay, thank you, man. I just want to know, I'm a big fan. There's a lot of fans in here for you in Saudi Arabia. And keep going with the good and amazing work.
Thank you. That means a lot. I appreciate that, and I appreciate you calling in, and hopefully we can get you back on at some point. Yeah, it's funny. I've gotten – people have sent me, Twitter videos. And I wish I remember the person's name. He's done this a few times where he's in think it's Saudi Arabia. And he'll just be driving down the street, like down the street in Saudi, playing the sound off on his car radio. And I don't know, and like showing me the sights as he's driving along. And I've heard from people in Kuwait and places like that, and it just blows my mind. It just, you know, you don't realize when it comes to these podcasts and these YouTube shows, and not just mine, but, you know, for me, when I hear from people who are from these places and who say, oh, you know, I'm a huge fan and you got a lot of other fans here. My friends listen to your show and stuff like that. And they're halfway across the world. I don't know. Just, I mean, I've gotten a lot of emails over the years like that, but it's still, especially when I see videos and stuff like that, it just blows my mind. Let's take a look at the polls from earlier, because you guys know I love showing you my polls. So here's the first one. This is the bigger one. AEW. Look at this. We're not even at 1,000 votes yet. Usually we'd be a lot higher than that. That could be a bad omen. That could be a bad omen for these ratings. I'm just saying. 81% up, 18% down. And NXT, by comparison, 65.6% up and 34.4% thumbs down. These polls are going to be open for another 2 days, so you guys can chime in. Let me know your thoughts. Let me know what you thought of these shows here tonight. Spanish Goddish just sent a $5 Disappointed Solomonster Super Chat. It says, I feel like Rick the Model Martel was so underrated. That is indeed a random Super Chat, but I agree with you. Rick the Model Martel was underrated. Rick the Model Martel should be in the WWE Hall of Fame, and I don't know that he wants to go in. I think Rick Martel is perfectly content to just be out of wrestling altogether, right? When was the last time we saw him? Probably Night of Champions. He had that cameo in, what was it, 2006? 2007? I think he's in real estate now. I've heard that Rick Martel is very happy. Didn't want to have anything to do with wrestling. Didn't want to be interviewed for the Dino Bravo special on Dark Side of the Ring. Hey, look, if the guy's happy, then more power to him. He's one of those guys that got out when the going was good. And he's living a comfortable life for himself. I wish him all the best. But the model, I think, doesn't get enough credit. So I agree with you on that. All right. So I think this is a good time to wrap things up. This was a fun show tonight. And this was always a fun stream with you guys. And hopefully you guys are enjoying the video elements now and everything. Because guess what? This is the way it's going to be from now on. So you better get used to it. We're going to be putting up a lot more content here on the channel. And Undertaker reviews, again, I mentioned that one a little bit earlier on. I'll just give that a quick plug. If you missed it, go back and check it out. Part one review. Got part two coming up next week. And of course, episode 652. I don't even know what number I'm up to at this point. I think it's 652, right? 652 of the podcast is coming up this weekend, so hopefully you guys will join me for that. I gotta take this off, man. This is just friggin' hot. But I won't disrobe here on YouTube. I'll wait until we're off the air here. So be well, stay safe. Thank you again for all your support. I will see you back here for the next Dynamite stream. Dynamite is live again next Wednesday. And of course, episode 652. Thank you, Oofman. Yes, I do remember. Anyway, have a good night. I'm out of here. I will see you this weekend and again next Wednesday. Take care, guys.